Our Father, eternal God, before the world began, you loved us and redeemed us to yourself through Jesus Christ. You have given us exceeding great and precious promises, and we worship and praise and adore thee because thou art the God who cannot fail. We thank thee that Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, has promised to be with us wherever two or three are gathered together in his name. We meet now in his name, asking the blessing, the protection, the guidance of God, the Holy Spirit, and that you will take the information and the Word of God and touch the hearts and minds and souls of people, that they may see the Lord Jesus Christ, that in everything he may have the preeminence. This we ask in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. I do not think it's possible to study today the various problems which face the Christian church without coming into contact with the eternal contemporary, the challenges of science, the challenge of philosophy, the challenge of modern theology, and of the world of the cults and the occult. And one of these great areas which has stimulated tremendous interest is the world of extraterrestrial phenomena, or, if you will, the flying saucers and the allegedly little green men who occupy them. If you listen to your television set, you are going from time to time to be exposed to programs which discuss the possibility of intergalactical travel and extraterrestrial life. ABC and CBS have already gotten into this field in considerable detail. Also, if you peruse the newsstands, I think you will see that the climate is one of interest in these various things. One of the things which particularly interests me in my own analysis of this field is the fact that there seems to be a very distinct linkage between the subject of extraterrestrial travel and beings and the world of the occult, the hidden, the mysterious, the secret things which God has forbidden man to become interested in. And as we go through the various sources and we see the bookstores having pulp books by the score on the subject of extraterrestrial life, and we see people writing on the subject, lecturing on the subject, all types of material coming out on this subject, not only in the world of religion, but particularly in the world of secular interest, we have to become interested if we consider ourselves up-to-date Christians. Now, foremost among those who have pioneered in the so-called world of the extraterrestrial is Erich von Däniken, a German who has spent considerable time writing. His three major books, The Chariots of the Gods, Gods from Outer Space, and Gold of the Gods, and a fourth one soon to be released, have to this date sold more than 30 million copies, which means that people are reading Mr. von Däniken and his theories, and he is influencing a considerable background of study in the United States and abroad. These books are being translated, I might add, and circulated throughout the world. There are others who have gotten into this field who have spoken on the subject of the gods from outer space, was God an astronaut, and all other types of publications of this particular nature or strain. We would have to spend at least 45 or 50 minutes, which we don't have, just going through the books and the articles and the material and the tapes which have been released in this particular field. So obviously we have to confine ourselves to one what one might call the head honcho, or the, if I may use this phrase, the Clifford Irving of the cosmos. And that would be Erich von Däniken. I'd like to claim originality for that statement, but I can't do it. People magazine did an interview with Mr. von Däniken. Playboy magazine did an interview with him. And he has been described in various terms, one of them being the Clifford Irving of the cosmos. But whatever it is, Mr. von Däniken has advanced some interesting theories, provocative theories, and they have to be examined, analyzed, and from a Christian perspective, answered. That is what we intend to do. Now, what is Mr. von Däniken talking about? What is the theory behind Chariot of the Gods, Gods from Outer Space, and the Gold of the Gods? What is Mr. Van Daniken trying to sell as extraterrestrial revelation? Well, let's listen to the outline that he himself gives. He discusses the various aspects of extraterrestrial life and projects the idea that at one time there was an enormous intergalactic battle, I'm quoting him now, and two great forces came together in the galaxies. The losers fled and ended in our particular galaxy and on our planet, Earth. They knew that they would be pursued by those who had defeated them, and so they set a trap on the fifth planet, which was between Mars and Jupiter at the time. This sent out radio waves and seemed to indicate that they had gone to that planet, when in reality they had come to Earth. On the Earth, they tunneled underground and using technology far advanced that even to our minds today and to minds apparently thousands of years ahead of ours even now, they created a vast tunnel system under Earth and a civilization on the Earth. These individuals waited for their pursuers to come, hiding and hoping that they would not be detected. The pursuers arrived, picked up the trap and the decoy, and annihilated the fifth planet. The result, of course, was some minor disturbances on Earth. There was a shift a few degrees in the Earth's axis, and this also brought about what is known in the Bible as the Noahic flood. Now they emerged from their tunnels. The winners had left and gone back to whatever galaxy they lived in. And these astronauts from outer space had sexual relations with the apes and produced what is known today as Homo sapien through a developed evolutionary process which was speeded up. We are not told how it was speeded up, but we are told that it was speeded up. And finally, man was created in their image and in their likeness. Now, beyond this, they were a brutal race of individuals. And after they had created man in their own image and speeded up the evolutionary growth, they proceeded to terrorize their creations. Thus, men became afraid of, quote, the gods, close quote. And the whole idea of fear of God or the gods in the Bible and in the religions of the world stems from the brutalizing effect of these creatures from outer space. Mr. Van Daniken maintains that the Bible supports extraterrestrial intervention, and he makes mention of the fact that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by an atomic bomb, that Moses used a ray gun to defeat the Amalekites, that the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible was actually a sophisticated radio transmitter through which Moses kept in contact with the spaceship that was orbiting Earth. Ezekiel saw these marvelous spaceships and wrote about them in Ezekiel chapter 10. They were actually spaceships described in contemporary language. And finally, a new religion was born on the Earth, the product of the astronauts and the apes ended up worshiping this race of beings. And all of this has been handed down to us through history and, of course, distorted due to circumstances and culture, time and place, until we have it spread out in all of the revelations that men supposedly receive and got from supernatural sources. Now, in a nutshell, this is the summation of Mr. Van Daniken's theory, and he sees extraterrestrial intervention in everything. One of the most amusing things pointed out by People magazine was Mr. Van Daniken's assumption that since the banana appeared on our planet and doesn't have seeds and propagates itself as other plants do, that the only possible explanation for the banana is that it arrived with these beings from outer space. and therefore the bananas of the gods, or the gods went bananas, could possibly be cited as a future chapter for one of Mr. von Daniken's excursions into the world of mythology. Now, a theory, and that's what we've been hearing, is defined quite properly as a beautiful idea ganged up on by a brutal bunch of facts. And the only way that you can really deal with Erich von Daniken or with anybody writing in the world of the theoretical is to try and match up the facts with the theory. And once you've done that, you should have a pretty clear picture as to whether or not you are dealing with factual data or with hallucinations. For us to do that, we have to examine in detail the things that Mr. von Daniken has said. Now, I have a compilation, a long list, more than four dozen of Mr. von Daniken's deviation from facts, and we will touch on some of those in just a few moments. But I would like to state, in analyzing von Daniken, that there is no evidence whatsoever from the fields of archaeology, history, science, or theology that supports anything Mr. von Daniken has said in this theory. It is purely a concept put forth to explain conditions and phenomena after one has rejected divine revelation. And Mr. von Daniken has a tremendously developed sense of imagination. In going through the material on in his various books, I've noticed something else that I think is worthwhile pointing out. I noticed that Newsweek magazine, in discussing von Daniken, says that the climate in which we live is one in which individuals appear to be, quote, looking for new gods to worship, close quote. And all around us, books such as Gods and Spacemen in the Ancient West, Temple of the Stars, and We Are Not the First, indicate that people are reaching out, trying to find some kind of reality because they have turned away from the authority of the Word of God and have gone into the world of the cults and the occult. I think I can say that Mr. von Daniken's entire system fits the outline of cults as they have developed in the United States over the last 140 years. And we are dealing with the cult of the gods from outer space, a cult that is trying to explain what we see here by taking what it wants out of the Bible and then proceeding to ignore the major thrust of biblical theology. Now, I think one of the things that's fascinating is a statement made by Dr. Carl Sagan, director of research at Cornell University, when he got on to the subject of Mr. von Daniken and his monkeys and the various other things which he has said. Dr. Sagan says that Mr. von Daniken's books should be used everywhere as an introductory course on the subject of logic, because they contain virtually every error that one will ever find in the field of logic. So when studying logic, he recommends that von Daniken be used as supplementary textual material. The outstanding example of how to commit every logical fallacy and every logical error is found in Mr. von Daniken's three books. I find this to be tremendously interesting because there are so many people today who pay no attention at all to the subject of logic or how to analyze what is going on in the world around us. Dr. Carl Sagan has done us a great favor. He has pointed out that Mr. von Daniken is a total stranger to the world of logic. And because of this, it's interesting to start analyzing what Mr. von Daniken's critics in the field of history, in the field of science, in the field of theology have to say, particularly the world of archaeology. because it's one thing to set forth a theory. It's quite another to establish its validity. He himself has said that science must inevitably prove or disprove what he is saying. But while he is telling this to us, he describes scholars as virtual tricksters in the gold of the gods, and he says that proof will not be found by existing methods of archaeological research. So if scholars are tricksters, and if proof is not going to be found by the existing methods of archaeological research, how is anybody going to find out anything about what Mr. Van Daneken says? He sets forth a theory and then, in effect, states, "The theory is true because I say it's true." And if you say, "What about history? What about logic? What about archaeology? What about science?" Mr. Van Daneken's reply immediately is that he is further advanced than all of his critics. In People magazine, in fact, he pointedly stated that he was far advanced beyond his critics. Therefore, it was virtually impossible to criticize what he was doing. Now, I think if you stop for a moment and think about it, you'll see what an impossible task has been set before us. We are given a detailed theory of what happened. We are told the Bible partially supports it. We have assertions which are supposed to be extraterrestrial in nature, found in the Bible. And then we are told that the Bible is essentially unreliable and that it is not the Word of God at all. But nevertheless, what is taken out of the Bible by Mr. Van Daneken must be believed as Mr. Van Daneken interprets it. When we make an appeal to scholarship, Van Daneken says, the scholars are involved in playing tricks. When we appeal to archaeology, there is no method in contemporary archaeology that can refute what I am saying. So how does one really approach the subject? I have decided, after reading a tremendous amount of material on it, talking with people who have spent a great deal of time trying to analyze it, and hopefully trying to see whether or not it has any objective validity, that the critics deserve their day in court just as Mr. Van Daneken deserves his. So listen for a moment, if you will, to the scholars, to the critics, to the people who have examined him in their own fields, the archaeologists, the historians, the people who have made it their business to look at the facts. I quote Dr. Clifford Wilson, archaeologist, an authority in psycholinguistics, and honored as an outstanding educator in America in 1971. Quote, "Time and again, Van Daneken does not validate his arguments. Conclusions and opinions are built upon suppositions which cannot be convincingly supported by the normal demands of evidence." Close quote. Dr. Frederick Giles, professor of physics, quote, "He accepts conjectures as facts and builds his theories on them according to his own presuppositions. He deliberately uses the unconnected, makes it appear connected, and then presents his theories as, quote, foregone conclusions," close quote. Dr. Edwin Yamauchi, specialist in ancient history, professor of history at Miami University, Oxford, Ohio. "His ideas are, quote, incredibly wild speculations without any factual basis. His statements about Egyptian history and ancient history in general show an ignorance of even the most elementary facts. His misapplication of Mesopotamian evidence, quote, borders on madness," close quote. Dr. Carl Sagan, quote, "Absolutely dreadful. The only thing worse than Van Daneken was the ABC documentary, which had, quote, every conceivable error," close quote. Dr. Herbert Alexander, professor of archaeology, Simon Fraser University in British Columbia, "That as far as archaeology is concerned, almost nothing in Van Daneken's book is factually correct," close quote. Linguists, scientists, historians, archaeologists doubt Van Daneken's scholarship as well as his interpretation of fact and theory. The big question that must be faced is, what is Van Daniken trying to prove? Strangely enough, the answer is bound up in the world of the occult. Because in The Gold of the Gods, his last book, Van Daniken gets down to business on the subject of religion. What do extraterrestrial visitations really mean? What do these things portend for us? What is man supposed to do in the light of all this evidence? Van Daniken says, Christianity has had its day. There is a great new world religion coming. And no longer will there be diversities of religious faith, but instead, everyone will worship the only one true God that everybody has been trying to get to through all of the religions in all time and all space. Van Daniken says that he knows the astronaut gods were here because he saw them here. How did Mr. Van Daniken see them here? He astrally projected himself back into time and space, and there his light body, this is all the language of the occult, saw the astronauts arriving, saw the things that they were doing, understood these things, and then was able to record them for us today. What is astral projection? That is your light body, different from your soul, but a part of you, leaving your body and traveling vast distances, gathering information, observing things, and then coming back to your sleeping body so that when you awake, you know all of these things. You find astral projection in theosophy. You find it in Spiritism. You find it in Rosicrucianism. In fact, you find it throughout the world of the cults and the occult, not accepting the world religions, including Hinduism, which is the mother of all paganism historically. What are we dealing with? We are dealing with Van Daniken's final conclusion. And his final conclusion is not that God was an astronaut, and not that the gods from outer space are our concept of God, anthropomorphized or put in human form. That isn't what he's really getting at. What he's really getting at is Christianity has had it. And these visitations from outer space are proof that if one is going to find true religion, he is not going to find it in the Bible or in the Christian faith. He's going to find it in the revelations which come to us from these great extraterrestrial sources. Now, Mr. Van Daniken has told us that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by an atomic bomb, that Moses used a ray gun, that Ezekiel saw flying saucers, the Ark of the Covenant was a radio transmitter, and that a new religion is on the horizon. He claims that cave drawings, unanswered questions such as the pyramids, the great blocks of stone on Easter Island, and additional material all prove that extraterrestrial forces were here, and that the Bible is in harmony with these things. The Christian must therefore turn to the scriptures to weigh what Mr. Van Daniken says. Did man originate by a forced evolutionary pattern from the apes who had intercourse with intergalactic beings, extraterrestrial visitors? Does the Bible support Mr. Van Daniken in this revelation? No. The record of the scripture is, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In the image of God made he him. This is a long way from Mr. Van Daniken's theory. It is the concept of a personal entity, a living God, creating man in his own spiritual image. Mr. Van Daniken says that Moses used a ray gun, that Sodom and Gomorrah were annihilated by an atomic bomb. Where's the evidence for these amazing statements? Moses had a ray gun? Where in the text do we find anything like this? He was utterly paralyzed with fright. because a rod of wood in his hand turned into a snake. What would he ever have done with Mr. Von Daniken's souped-up spaceships, radio transmitters, and, obviously, Star Trek's phaser weapons? If he was having trouble with a rod, imagine the problems he would have had with advanced technology. Where's the evidence that these things took place? No evidence whatsoever. Just Mr. Von Daniken's statement, that is what really happened. But in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, we find the Bible saying that Jehovah rained on Sodom and Gomorrah fire and sulfur from Jehovah out of heaven. And the Lord says, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. How can you even begin to build a house for a being such as this? Did Mr. Von Daniken have any support for these ideas in Scripture? None whatsoever. Yet, he makes his appeal to the Bible. The Ark of the Covenant was a two-way radio transmitter. And Ezekiel actually saw spaceships. Now, a book has been written by a NASA scientist called The Spaceships of Ezekiel. It has some solid observations from a scientific perspective, but it suffers from the same error of Mr. Von Daniken. It is assuming what it is attempting to prove. It is involved in circular reasoning. And it doesn't explain what Ezekiel saw in the context of Ezekiel. It explains it in the context of the 20th century. That is a very poor way to attempt to interpret Scripture. To go back with the tools of today and with the cultural advances and technology of today and try and read into a passage what the individual never saw, never understood, and in fact what the passage itself doesn't say. There are no spaceships in Ezekiel. There are no spaceships anywhere in the Bible. There are no ray guns. There are no atomic bombs. There aren't even Model A Fords. And yet we are being told all of these things are grounded some way or other, very vaguely to be sure, in alleged authority of Scripture. Nothing could be further from the truth. Mr. Von Daniken talks about God. Who is the God of the Bible? The God of the Bible is a personal being. He reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mr. Von Daniken does not accept this. He does not accept Jesus Christ as the Savior. He does not believe in his sacrifice for our sins. He goes to great difficulty to tell us that. Yet we are asked to believe that the Bible, which teaches these things and is contradicted by Mr. Von Daniken, is supporting his theories. Is astral projection biblical? Where in the Bible did anybody ever go on a trip in their light body? Where is one ever even mentioned? We have a difficult enough time with the one that we're carrying around with us now without inventing an imaginary one and then sending it on trips. There are people, I believe, who think they have left their bodies. I think some of them were tripped out on drugs. I think some of them hallucinated. And I think others were deceived by the occultic forces of darkness into thinking they went through what they never went through. One person asked me not too long ago in a lecture series, isn't there anything at all in the Bible that resembles astral projection? And I said, no, there isn't. But there is something in the Bible that gives us an illustration of how the devil could do it. And the person was very disappointed because the devil wasn't even in the conversation up until that point. And I said, would you look at Luke chapter 4? And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. And Satan took him up to a high mountain. And the Bible says, in a moment of time showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glories of them. Now, how did he manage that? He couldn't take Jesus all over the world to all the kingdoms simultaneously. He obviously had the power to create in front of Christ a picture of what all the kingdoms of the world had to offer and all the glory and the power and the benefits connected with them. And he did it at a point in time and space on a mountaintop in Israel. If he did it for Jesus to tempt him to disobey God, you had better believe he has the power to do it to anybody he wants to deceive them.